Will we be doing that travel through avatars or biological robots that we direct remotely through neurological pathways? How precarious is human existence? It's the 31st of March today, and it's...
Also
Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and it's also...
Also what?
When British summertime begins. Welcome to the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast with him...
William Manclow, and you...
Oh, yeah, and me. You're talking over each other again. And me, Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. Hopefully this podcast will stretch your thinking as we explore opinions are not facts, they're just fleeting moments in time. So, today's topics have been set by Teddy in Norwich and Srinika in Western Province, Sri Lanka. And the questions may or may not have a bearing on the countryside or the environment, but we always try and bring it back to that.
We do.
And we never see the questions before we press record. And we try and get, have a conversational style, less of a debate. Sometimes we have guests in to, if we want to expand the subject a bit more. We try and break down the big issues into bite-sized chunks, and we try and come up with actions that address what we discuss. So, what's the question? First question, William?
The first question is from Teddy in Norwich in England, yep. Nice part of the world. And
Teddy's what that stands for, Norwich?
Let's not say it now. No. I know exactly what you think it's for. Teddy's question, thank you very much. I believe this is Teddy's first question on this podcast.
I don't remember him setting one before.
No. So, Teddy, thank you very much for your question. Teddy's question. For man to leave Earth and colonise space, it's about we need to lengthen our own lifespan somewhat or become immortal due to the time needed to cover the vast distances. Will we be doing that travel... through avatars or biological robots that we direct remotely through neurological pathways? If we do that, will that mean we as the pilots still aren't immortal, but the vessel is? Can anything last forever, though? And I think the biggest issue we have is we are almost pretty much bound by the speed of light.
Okay.
And communication is a communication, even if we were able to send out, as Teddy has put here, avatars or biological robots, there would still be this massive delay between us and them actually receiving the information. And even Mars, which is, you know, astronomically closer than anything else in the universe, is still a long way away, and there is a lot of issues with communication, even with that, with when it comes to time.
Yeah, somebody once said to me, it would take way more energy to transport there than what we've actually got access to at this point in time. Mm. And by the time we get there, we wouldn't be alive anyway. You know, which digs into sort of what Teddy's getting at. Now let me look at this again. For man to leave Earth and colonise space, it's felt we need to lengthen our own lifespan somewhat or become immortal due to the time needed to cover the vast distances. Well, we're keeping people alive longer now, and so different ailments are coming up. Now, if you put those ailments out in space, well, what's going to happen to them? Because there are certain bodily impacts of going into space... staying in space.
Yes.
So it just may not be feasible. It's interesting what he comes on to. We will be doing the travel through avatars or biological robots that we direct remotely through neurological pathways. Now, this directing robots through neurological pathways is well advanced science, you know, already. Mm. But...
I mean, I would say the biggest barrier still, though, is the huge distances and actual our current understanding of physics as well.
Yeah,
you know, we'd have to almost discover a way of being able to communicate more speedily.
Yeah.
Than we currently do, and as we understand the universe as it is now, I mean, the good example of communication issues is the Voyager spacecraft. You know, that it takes an inordinate amount of time. Yeah. To get information back from the Voyager spacecraft. Not just that, but also, say you want to send a command to do something, it will take a certain amount of time for it, the information to get there in the first place, to actually get that command to actually even take on. And then if you want to receive back the message to say that the command has been received and acted upon, it will take the same amount of time. I don't know what the time lag is, but that hasn't even really got out of the influence of the sun, the gravitational influence of our own star. And that isn't so... astronomically speaking, it's extraordinarily close. It's miles, it's millions and millions of miles away. But I always think that this whole idea of interstellar travel seems to be purely science fiction. I don't see it happening unless I can't really see it happening.
Unless there was like satellite places along that route to speed up the navigation, the communication. So you're not communicating from Earth to where the object is. You're communicating stages. Would that work?
It would still be the same speed. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not strength. It's speed. Mm. It's a bit like that's a bit like thinking about how if you had like a route plotted out on your GPS in your car and you had certain points that you had along the motorway, your speed wouldn't change. It would just mean that it would just give you points along the way.
I'd be slightly reluctant to see man leave Earth, even though that's the plan, because we need to save ourselves because the Earth's not going to last forever. But, you know, we're already pumping out loads of rubbish that's circumnavigating in space. We leave debris wherever we go, so we do that on a new planet. And I've already heard somebody from NASA say about this new energy going and being put into getting to the moon. A lot of that's driven by actually trying to gain ownership to the minerals that are on the moon. So it's always about extraction every time.
The original moon missions were part of they were a military expedition in a way. Quite overtly, because it was all part of the Cold War, really, the original moon missions and the original space missions. I mean, there was a space race between the Soviet Union and the United States. I think when you think about humans in space, you know, we often think about, you know, dismiss your idea of space as in humans in space like you see in the likes of Star Trek, for example. That is not a reality. We have evolved on this particular planet to live and survive on this particular planet. Our body is completely made to be here, particularly with the Earth's gravity. Astronauts, particularly those who are in the ISS, the International Space Station, for any period of time, their bone density lessens or weakens because the bone density comes from it comes from replication, I believe, and the fact that your body's all continuously, the Earth's gravity is continuously exerting itself on your body, so your body responds to that.
Yeah.
That pressure, because that's what our bodies would have been designed for over millions and millions of years.
Very interesting angle Teddy's got next is previously he said in the question, where was it? Do we need to become immortal to cover the vast distances needed? But his next part is if we send up robots to do it and we control them remotely, will that mean that the pilots still aren't immortal? Well, of course not. The pilots would, if it was practical, these robots, the pilot, they're being piloted by us.
Ah.
So they might go on for longer than us, but because we're still on Earth, the pilot still wouldn't be immortal because the pilot ship would pass to the next person once the previous one passed away.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting spin on it. And can anything last forever? No, not even the robots. If it was possible to do this, not even the robots would last forever because, they just wear out.
Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah. But if the universe keeps even though it's expanding, the known universe, there might be multiple universes, or universi, the theory comes to fruition that even though it's expanding, it absorbs itself and it uses up all the energy within and it just goes back to nothing. Well, nothing can live without forever within that constraint.
Yeah.
It goes back to the previous question. What does nothing feel like? I agree. I don't think it will ever be possible to really travel the huge distances needed to find a semblance of another Earth.
And because even the closest system, the next star from the sun is a very long way away. Very long way away.
Yeah.
Somebody was doing, has done sort of like these scale models of the universe, and this person had driven in the States, and they were like, okay, I've started at the sun, I'm now going to drive down the road, and this is Mercury, Venus, and go through all the planets, and Pluto's quite far away, but his drive to the next star, I think, let's say Neptune was maybe about a half an hour drive.
Mm.
His drive to the next star was about 24 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
The scale was off the charts, and that's just the next star in this galaxy. Mm. I don't think we can entirely get our minds around how big space is, and I think we can often think that, well, for example, the moon is really close, as we think it is, but the moon is still a long way away.
Yeah.
Still a long way away. I think it was something like 30 round trips around the Earth to get to the moon or something ridiculous like that. And that is right on our doorstep. And the moon is still quite a hard place to get to, very hard place to get to. And Mars is even harder.
Mm.
So it's like, I think because we look at these things as being... we're becoming more technologically advanced as we go on. Technology advances, computers, science, AI, everything's advancing. That we think we can extrapolate that out into the future, but we could just hit a point where, well, actually, the limitations of the universe stop us going any further. There's actually a physical barrier stopping us going any further, which is why I believe there's no such thing as aliens visiting us. I think that's nonsense. That doesn't seem... It seems impossible to me.
Mm.
Because the distances are so vast. We think they are not as vast as we think they are. Because we can move so quickly, especially around on the planet now. We can get to places within... Mrs. Wildman's gone to India, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And that took her, 24 hours? And that seems like a long time. But actually... That isn't a long time considering the distance she's covered.
Yeah, she had a stopover and then she had a coach journey, but it took her pretty much 24 hours to get where she was.
24 hours, and if you, 100 years ago,
You'd
be talking about 6 months probably to get there.
Yeah.
Or at least two or three.
Any actions?
Just to think about that really we need to get our own house in order.
Okay.
And I think being in space, I have to remember that a lot of space exploration has helped us understand the world a lot better than we knew it beforehand.
Mm.
We've been able to monitor the world better from space because you can look down, you get the top-down view. Technologies have been developed just through being in space.
Mm. My action is to question and just think about and churn on what is really behind the motivation of going to new worlds, space travel. That's all I'm going to say on that. Just spend some time thinking on that. Your answer may change day on day, but it's worth thinking about.
Second question then is also from a new listener. our new person who's sent in a listener question. Mm. We had somebody get in touch with us recently. I think it's in one of the later questions, saying that they'd quietly been listening
for many years.
For many years,
and never sent in a question.
And they have now just sent a question in. It's not this person. It's going to be that's going to be a question in the future.
We can never say it's a new listener, can you? Can just a new person sending in a question?
A new person who sent in a question. They could have been listening since the first ever episode.
Yeah, who knows? Who is it then?
What? It's from Srinika in Western Province, Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Srinika's question is, never set a question for this podcast before, so that's confirmed that. Mm. Thanks for the opportunity. How precarious is human existence?
Well, on a personal level, it's just, you know, you can be here 1 minute, gone the next. I think human existence, It will evolve. It won't necessarily look like it does now, even if we don't succeed in reversing climate change and make it a survivable entity. Something of us will still exist. Mm. So I think it's very precarious on an individual level, on a societal and community and a mass level. There's more chance of something carrying on. But even if it does disappear, the human race, its impact will be here for many, many millennia.
We have things that we can control as a species. So precariousness can come from, you know, internal conflict, you know, wars, that type of thing. You know, there's always that threat or existential threat of us annihilating ourselves with nuclear war, for example. I don't know how precarious that is. I mean, it seems to be that the world is a lot more active when it comes to a conflict these days. But that's one thing. But there's also threats that we could be wiped out in seconds because, well, a big rock has hit us from the from space, and we have no control over that.
Yeah. Where does the word precarious come from? You got any idea? It feels Latin to me.
That precarious sounds, kind of along those lines, I mean, it could be Greek, actually. I do not know.
No. There might be an action. Have a look, see where precarious comes from. Interesting. One of my favourite words, and do you know what my real favourite word is?
Well, we'll find out in a second.
Plinth.
Plinth.
Yeah, plinth.
I've always liked subtle, because there's a subtle B in there somewhere.
So I think it's, how precarious is human existence? Was that the question?
Yeah, that's the question, yeah.
I think there are precarious moments.
Yes.
That can lead on to other things. Precarious existence, well, there's a lot of us, but it is not beyond the wit of man to imagine none of us left.
But there were a lot of dinosaurs as well. So just because there's a lot of something doesn't mean that we can't come to
an
end.
It's safe.
Yeah, we can come to an end very quickly. Like I said, if it was an outside event, I mean, that's one thing I have heard, is that it would take an outside event for us to end. But it would also be an inside event. We're growing a lot closer together, living closer together. So there's going to be more. We had COVID-19. I did hear recently that, and you know, there's concerns that another pandemic will happen in another couple of years. Mm. Don't know how true that is. Do not take that as a fact. You know, but it was definitely talked about, purely because we are living so much closer together. There is more of us.
Yeah, so this 100-year gap between pandemics. The more there are of us, the more chance of that reducing.
Yes, I mean, the response to COVID-19 was pretty rapid, though not equal, of course, at all in the world, but it was definitely pretty rapid. I think we're able to understand it better or understand those challenges better, but they are still there. Yeah. And it could easily be that something more virulent and more lethal turns up, but I don't let that... keep me awake at night. You know, there are other things to try and to concern yourself about.
But is there a genuine action here for this one, apart from looking up where does precarious come from?
I would say, look up where precarious comes from. My action would be to understand that human life is itself precarious. You don't know when the last conversation you'll have with the person you love will be. So try to have that in your mind. Have that in your mind whenever you talk to somebody who means something to you, to to understand that you might not see them again.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how precarious it is. Somebody very close to me lost somebody in a blink of an eye. It happened as a very random event, and they never saw them again.
Yeah.
So anybody could. Our own individual human existence can disappear in seconds, and it's something that you never even thought about before. It can just be you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. So yeah, that's my action.
Okay, so thanks for being with us again. Another episode of the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. As you can tell, almost every subject that was thrown at us, you can sort of, it does have its toe dipped in the environment in some way, because that's by sheer nature, that's what it all about.
Yes.
You know, we are part of the environment. And the environment is us. So I'd maybe spin an extra consideration is how precarious is the environment, whatever that is.